tonight I have the privilege of sharing with you my experience on steps 10, 11, and 12. Step 10, we continue to take personal inventory. And when we were wrong, promptly admitted it. This step is so important for me. It's a review and a strengthening of the first 9 steps of recovery. And the principles associated with the first 9 steps have to be living and active in my life if I want to remain sober. And I've seen countless people do a strenuous house cleaning, only later to walk backwards through the steps and end up with a drink in their hand. And some of those people have made those mistakes so that people like me don't have to. I once heard that a wise man will learn from his mistakes, but a smart man will learn from other people's mistakes. And I can learn from their mistakes. And oftentimes I come to meetings and I hear people raise their hand and they talk about how they have one day back. And they had gone through the steps. And yet, they failed to perfect and enlarge upon their spiritual life to their own hurt. And my prayers are with them, that they would be able to maintain and improve upon those things which God imparts to us through the preceding 9 steps of recovery. I don't know about you, but after the first 9 steps, I began to feel great. I felt better than I ever did in my entire life. I began to have peace with God. I began to have peace with myself. And I began to have peace with others. And that was an exceptional blessing for me because my entire life up until that point existed under a banner of hostility. And so there was a real freedom. And we're warned in the big book of Alcoholics Anonymous not to rest on our laurels. Well, when I came in here, I said, what's a laurel? I had absolutely no idea about laurels. And so I had to look it up. And what I realized in looking it up is that it's a past achievement. A laurel is a wreath that one would get after winning a prize. And I can't look back to the successful events of my recovery process and pretend to be finished. Because I now have the peace and serenity that was given to me by God through the first 9 steps of recovery. There was a real temptation for me when I began to feel good to stop doing the things that I did in the very beginning. To stop showing up at meetings, to stop making coffee, to stop greeting people, to stop reaching out my hand and folding up the chairs and doing all of those things that kept me right size. My ego sought to reconstruct itself. And it's the ego that seeks to convince me that I could afford to become complacent. And in complacency will erode the foundation of my spiritual integrity. And then I'm in big trouble. Because I can just as easily walk backwards through these steps as I've seen many people do time and again in the rooms of Alcoholics Anonymous. That's very scary for me. I know where the drink took me, and I don't ever want to go down that road again. And by the grace of God, a day at a time, as I live in 10, 11, and 12, I never have to. And so I have to continue to look out for the defects that create confusion, disorder, and strife within relationships. The resentment, fear, selfishness, dishonesty that has plagued my existence before Alcoholics Anonymous. And when these things crop up, and they do, I need to humble myself and speak to somebody. And if there's a harm caused, I need to address it immediately. Because when there is a buildup of outstanding debt, I begin to become uncomfortable. And it's very easy for me to evade my spiritual responsibilities in recovery. I don't know about you, but I hate taking out the garbage. Every time I come home, my wife says, take out the garbage. I don't want to take out the garbage. I want to relax on the couch and pretend that the garbage isn't high enough. As a matter of fact, I can go to the full can of garbage and start pushing it down. There's still room in that can. It fills up again, so I push it down some more. Boy, you know it, there's stuff falling out of the garbage can. There's a buildup. Because I didn't address things when they needed to be addressed. Now I have a buildup that has to be dealt with. it would have been easier to deal with it initially. And I postponed my responsibility to my own hurt. So now what do? I got the garbage can between my legs and I'm pulling the bag. And I got garbage flying all over the place. It gets messy. And now I created the need to clean up a mess that never had to get to that point. So it's so important for me to respond promptly, to satisfy any outstanding debts so that there's never a buildup. Very important for me. 10th step for me is a shield against the complacent spirit. I can be complacent. It's in my nature to put things off. And in Alcoholics Anonymous, I am learning a day at a time how to be responsible about the maintenance of my spiritual conditioning. This is a tremendous part of it, the 10th step. Now, every time I make a meeting, I'm adding to a spiritual account. I help somebody, I'm adding to a spiritual account. I do the next right thing, there's a deposit made into a spiritual account. And so I'm storing up spiritual resources. But if I stop making the meeting and I stop helping people and I stop putting out my hand and doing the next right thing, I'm withdrawing out of that account, but I'm doing nothing in terms of deposit. And what happens to people oftentimes is all of a sudden they're living without making those deposits. And they're resting on their laurels. And they're relying on their past accomplishments. And sooner or later, in the moment of temptation, they reach into the account and they try to grab something that is going to help them in that moment. And the necessary resources aren't going to be there. And they end up with a drink in their hand. And it's a shame. Because it is not God's will that any of us should relapse. It's not God's will. So, how is this spirit of vigilance and fortitude fostered and engendered? Step 11, sought through prayer and meditation to improve our conscious contact with God as we understood Him, praying only for the knowledge of His will for us and the power to carry that out. When I came here, I really didn't know how to pray. And it was important for me to grab a hold of the third step prayer and the fourth step prayer and the seventh step prayer and all the different prayers along the road to give me an understanding of how to connect with God in this process. I was learning how to communicate with God in this process. And it's very important for me, a man created by a personal God for personal relationship, to connect personally, to make the relationship personal. And I don't really believe that there's any wrong way to speak to God. God made me in the uniqueness of who I am, and so I can uniquely communicate according to my personhood. And there's nothing wrong with that. And as I explore that within the context of an intimate relationship, my relationship with God develops. The knowledge of God develops. An understanding of God's will develops. So important. Meditation for me was always very confusing. I found out very quickly what meditation didn't work for me. Because I did try a whole bunch of things before I found something that I was comfortable with within the framework of the various meditations. The first thing I tried was in a rehab facility. And there was a lady running the facility. And she said, "We're going to do an 11-step workshop." I said, "Okay, that's great. You know, I just stopped shaking. Let's do an 11-step workshop." So here I am, 6 foot tall, 129 pounds, getting ready for meditation. And so I was told, "Close your eyes. Okay, I'm going to put on some music. Picture the sound of a babbling brook and the cold mountain air and the dew at your feet." Meanwhile, I had socks on. "And the eagle that flies over the mountaintop. And you'll have peace. And take in all the positivity and exhale all the negativity." And then she told me to open my eyes, but I more readily felt like a nap. (Laughter) And I had about 11 days sober at the time. And I asked her at the end of the meeting, I said, and I'm not any too smart, so I got to ask a lot of questions. I said, that was nice and all, and I certainly felt relaxed when I was doing it. But when I opened my eyes, I still realized that I didn't do anything about my devastated relationships, and I still got to see the judge when I get home. And I got all of these circumstances of my life that remain in turmoil, and here I am picturing some fantasy when I need a reality of peace in my life. Mm-hmm. How am I going to get the reality of peace through this fabricated picture? That didn't work for me. When I opened my eyes and I said, wait a second here, I still have issues that I cannot resolve and fears that I cannot face, and I'm feeling stuck here. What am I supposed to do with this? So then somebody told me, go into a room and just get quiet and try to hear nothing. Oh yeah, that was easy. So there I am, sitting in silence, my eyes closed. And all I could see is the dark of my eyelids. And eventually I got a picture of a man who was trying to kill me. And I said, this isn't going to work either. And then somebody who's been meditating for quite some time began to help me in a process of meditation that I felt comfortable with. Take a passage of the big book and meditate on the text. What can you learn from this passage about God? What can you learn in this passage about yourself? What can you learn from this passage about your responsibility as an alcoholic? What can you learn from this passage about how to have effective relationships? And that made sense to me because now I had an object of focus. I can focus on the character of God, some attribute of God. I can focus on some manner through which I can experience the grace of God or help somebody else to connect with God. And that made sense to me. And so that's what I do to this very day. My meditation is spent in the literature, asking God questions as I read the big book of Alcoholics Anonymous, saying, God, what is it that you have for me in this section of the text? What can I learn about you in this section of the text? What can I learn about myself? What can I learn about my responsibility as an alcoholic? What can I learn about doing the next right thing, helping somebody, being available, facing my fears? And it's within the framework of that type of meditation that I began to learn how to listen. As I improved my conscious contact in that regard, the knowledge of His will for me and the power to carry it out began to manifest. So it's been very powerful. And the way that I understand God today is much different than the way that I understood God when I began this process. When I began this process, the only thing I needed to do is be willing to believe. And I knew that a relationship could develop from that point. So now, I begin to see that God, in this process, wants to disclose to me the beautiful aspects and dynamics of who He is so that I could be inspired to be more like Him in this process. And my ultimate goal in prayer and meditation is to reflect the character and the dignity and the essence of my Creator. And that's how it works for me. And in step 12, it says, having had a spiritual awakening is the result of these steps. And that's very important for me because I used to get a moment of clarity confused with a spiritual awakening. I came to believe in God, and I came to believe that I needed God and that God would help me, and I thought that that within itself was a spiritual awakening. And it certainly is. But it's not the type of awakening that the 12th step is talking about. The 12th step is talking about the awakening of the Spirit that becomes operative when we employ the principles associated with each step with the help of God and make that journey in relationship to connect with Him in a dynamic way. And so having had a spiritual awakening is a result of these steps. It says we try to carry this message to alcoholics. We tried. That means that we're responsible for the effort, but not the results. That's comforting to me. When Bill Wilson was trying to carry the message to other alcoholics, for 6 months he succeeded in helping no one, but he remained sober himself. And so 12-step work is a very good reinforcement to our own recovery, and we need it to survive. Because if I'm not doing work in the 12th step, then I am still self-centered. I am still about me. I still want to serve my own purposes in Alcoholics Anonymous. And it's important to become a conduit through which the grace of God could reach another alcoholic who needs to hear this message. And for that, we are responsible. And we try. And so I kind of see it like this. I'm in God's postal service. And I got a package to deliver. And I'm going to come to the sick and suffering alcoholic with the package. And it's up to them to sign for it. And as long as I bring the package to their doorstep, it's on them after that. It's not my responsibility how they react or respond. My responsibility is to ensure that according to the will of God, in the purpose that He made me for, I make that message available to another human being that is struggling in active alcoholism. And of course, to practice these principles in all our affairs, very important. Very important for me to live a sober life. You know, I'm a master at deceiving people. I did it my entire life. I'm very good at getting close enough to people so that they would like me and staying far enough away so that they wouldn't see who I am. I know how to come into an Alcoholics Anonymous meeting and get a big book cover to match my shirt and act like, you know, I got it going on now, I'm so spiritual. And then neglect my need to be spiritual in the various components of my life as I'm called to do so. Today I'm not only a recovered alcoholic, I'm an employee. How am I behaving in my workplace? I'm a husband. Am I loving my wife the way she deserves to be loved? As another child of God, my children. My children come to me. Are they learning something about the nature of God in the way that I respond to them? Am I teaching them something about this God that saved me from active alcoholism? This is supposed to, just like self-centered fear touched every single aspect and dynamic of my life, God-centered faith has to touch every single aspect and component of my life. And so I labor in 10, 11, and 12 to that end. And I am certainly not perfect. I haven't arrived. I am still under construction. I need a lot of help with a lot of different things. But if I remain vigilant, if I continue to check for selfishness, resentment, dishonesty, fear, if I continue to talk about my struggles with a humble spirit, not trying to blame shift, but accepting responsibility for who and where I am in the present moment, and I make the amends that need to be made in a quantifiable fashion that can be measured, not just, oh, I am so sorry for that. Well, what is the evidence of my regret? There needs to be a payment made, restitution. I learned all about that. Restitution. When I saw that judge after rehab. And if I remain in a posture of prayer, if I continue to read the big book and meditate so that I can learn about God, myself, and how to be useful, and I engage the selflessness of reaching out even when it's uncomfortable. I don't know about you, but there are people that reach out to me for help that I don't want to help. I'm going to be honest with you. That the last person I want to help is that person that wants my help more than anybody else. Sometimes I want to say, are you sure you're the person that wants my help? And yet, God is teaching me something in that. And you know what? Oftentimes, the person that I want to help the least becomes the greatest blessing in my life when I surrender to the will of God and I engage the process of helping them. I learn something about God and I learn something about giving. Look at how much God gave me. Was I so lovely when I got here? Oh no, I can't forget where I came from. I keep it ever before me. And I wake up every morning and I say, God, I am desperate for you. You don't help me to give, I'm not going to give. Because my nature is self-centered, self-seeking. But if you empower me to give, I can make a difference in your world. For that today, I'm grateful. And I appreciate this opportunity to give back just a little bit of what has been given to me by Alcoholics Anonymous. Thank you.